This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Well, thank you all for coming today. I appreciate it. We just finished my budget address and got a balanced overview of the state of our economy and also our revenues, how they're coming in, and my priorities to fund in the future. You'll notice that the budget is structurally balanced, that we put 10% in reserves, and then we fund priorities that will strengthen families and set us up for financial success, giving the next generation the best opportunity to stay here in South Dakota and continue to contribute far into the future. I won't give more of an opening statement than that. If you'd like to ask specific questions about the budget proposals, I'd be more than happy to answer those. Yes.
Governor, this is Stephen Groves from the Associated Press.
Hi, Stephen.
So I was looking with some of the agency reductions coming from the DSS. I was wondering what those cuts will look like, if that means staff cuts or program cuts, or what you're predicting for that.
Most of those reductions came in utilization of programs that were utilized less than anticipated. So less people were on Medicaid. They were on programs that would be spending dollars out into the communities. And so those reductions came in less utilization of programs that would help people in difficult times. As the economy nationwide and in South Dakota was doing fairly well and their people are employed and working jobs, obviously they're utilizing some of those programs less.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And how do you think your disaster relief plan is and preparation is going to contribute to the ag community? Obviously, you said that ag is going to stay flat for now. Mm-hmm. How do you think that's going to help recover?
Well, some of our biggest challenges across South Dakota right now are with infrastructure. So our roads and our bridges are extremely damaged. Getting access to towns, schools, but also fields and their pastures is extremely difficult for a lot of farmers and ranchers across the state of South Dakota. So what we did is we, in the budget, put $9.9 million into the disaster fund, which will be the state's 10% share match to match FEMA dollars. And then the local governments are required to match 15%. What we're proposing through the other programs that we laid out today is financing that for local governments. Most of our counties are the ones who are responsible for funding that 15%, and they're extremely strapped for finances to do the kind of upgrades that are necessary. So we will take and commit to our 10% as a state match that is necessary, and then the balance of that we will finance. The 15% that is the county share, but then also sometimes FEMA dollars take a long time to come in. So we will finance that for them until those FEMA dollars come in the door, and then as soon as those FEMA dollars come in, the county will just turn those back to the state as repayment for that loan. This will give the counties a lot more options to go out there and to upgrade their infrastructure and get it back into shape sooner rather than later. And then some of these programs that haven't been utilized a lot in the past require extra dollars to upgrade infrastructure. So the way that I've explained this to some of the legislators in our previous meetings was that many times a culvert keeps washing out over and over again, or a road gets backed up because a culvert's not big enough and it takes out the entire road. With this program, we will be able to put in a bigger culvert or put in a bridge that will prevent that road from washing out into the future. So using those mitigation dollars allows us to improve the infrastructure to prevent future damage. And that's really what a lot of our counties were asking for. By the state stepping in and being willing to finance that will allow them to improve it in a better spot where potentially in the next flood that we have, that infrastructure could remain intact. And what we did throughout the speech was when I talked about a topic, we emailed to all the legislators a one-pager, and maybe you guys have already gotten those, with some of the details on each of those topics so that they would have more information on each of the topics that were covered.
Some county commissioners I've talked to have said they haven't seen some of those dollars yet. Is that kind of why there's still like a process?
Yes, I would say they probably haven't seen those dollars yet, maybe because FEMA dollars haven't come in yet. Sometimes FEMA dollars can take up to a year to come in. And then that ties their hands to being able to go out there and actually do the improvements they need to do. So that's why the state is offering to finance that for them. They can go out there, do the work they need to do. Then when the FEMA dollars do come in, they just repay the state for that. The other 15%, you know, may be a hindrance for them as well. Many of our counties are so scarcely populated or are having some challenges economically. Some have more, you know, court costs or criminal costs or whatever it is. They have less to put into infrastructure. This will be an option for them to do those kind of improvements and plan for the future.
Looking into the future, how do you think this budget proposal will drive, like, everyone across the state of South Dakota?
Well, it's, you know, it's been a difficult year. 2019, I think, turned out to be a very different year than what we all thought it would be standing here 12 months ago. We went through the largest natural disaster in our state's history. And many of our counties were absolutely devastated. Agriculture was hit hard. Many of our businesses suffered because of that as well. And so taking that into account, obviously, then the state revenues were down, and that requires us all to tighten our belts. So we started months ago as a state telling our agencies and departments to stop spending any money that they could and that they had some discretion over. That accounted for $17 million in savings, which we reflected in this budget. And then what we did is use the revenues that are there to fund priorities, take care of people, to educate children, and to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for future economic growth. And where you see I've prioritized some of those dollars is exactly in those areas. By completing the state radio upgrade is a public safety issue. By focusing on broadband, we're going to allow so many communities the opportunity to recruit businesses and families that don't have that opportunity today because they lack internet access. By focusing on training our workforce, which is necessary at USD, you know, that building will train our nurses, our dental hygienists, their fastest growing majors. They lack the facilities to do it properly. By focusing on technology and what we can do at DSU is incredibly important as well. And then making sure that we're taking care of providers by giving them rate tiers so they can provide more services for people who want to stay in assisted living longer is something they've been asking us for quite some time. And then doing the inflationary increases that are necessary as well. In education, making sure that we're covering the rebase is incredibly important when it comes to special education. That's about a $14 million bill that will go out to school districts that will help them with their special education costs, and then making sure that we're funding the increased enrollment is important too. So while obviously, I wish there was more revenue so we could always do more, I think where we're putting our dollars is wise. And when we look at the inflationary increases for education, for state employees, and for providers, a 1% increase is $16 million. So it's significant. And I've had these conversations with my team on how we could get there. I've had those conversations with legislators on how they are going to try to find ways to do more there. But in my budget proposal, I think we really focused on areas that we needed to, that prioritized not just taking care of people that we need to today, but also setting us up for success in the future.
I have about a year's worth of data now for the internet sales tax collections. Thoughts on what you're kind of seeing there and whether or not, you know, I think lawmakers are definitely going to be debating the Partridge Amendment this year. I didn't hear any mention of that, so any kind of guidance there?
Well, we did not see the revenues come in the door from online sales tax collections that would trigger a reduction in the sales tax rate. And some of that may be for several different factors, but that is something that I obviously didn't reflect any changes in my budget because statute didn't get triggered by the amount that was coming in the door. Also, there's been other changes and uncertainty with that and how you account for where that sales tax is coming in from and where physical location is defined and all of that. But I'm sure that will be a debate that legislators will have. It's something that we've talked about for several legislative sessions now and that they'll be bringing something forward as far as ideas. And as the appropriators dig into the actual dollars, they'll find out exactly where revenue is coming from and the fact that it wasn't as much as they had originally anticipated. The one of the other things that is happening this year that I think is important for us to recognize is the federal legislation that impacts the state budget. Originally last year during legislative session, we thought the implementation of the Internet Tax Freedom Act would hit the state budget at about $10 to $15 million. And from doing more research over the last 12 months, we found that it's actually larger than that. So that's why you'll see a $30 million tax burden relief from South Dakota families, $20 million of that will come off the state's revenue, which means we need to reduce that spending as well.
Can you talk about the $3.7 million for more meth treatment? I guess what do you envision that really going towards?
Well, the breakdown in the $3.7 million, $3 million is for treatment facilities. The $0.7 would be for law enforcement. If you remember last legislative session, I asked for and was granted by the legislature four more Highway Patrol troopers that focused on meth, and then also DCI agents, two of them that would focus on investigations and stopping those who traffic meth through the state of South Dakota. So having the tools necessary to really go after and be aggressive still on the law enforcement side is incredibly important to keep the flow and the prevalence of meth out of our state and to be aggressive on that. But the $3 million would be targeted towards treatment and specific treatment towards meth. So many times when we're looking at dollars that are available for addiction and for treatment, the federal dollars are pretty well targeted towards opioids. And we do have opioid addiction problems in the state of South Dakota, but overwhelmingly our problem is still meth. About 80%, and even more than that, that go through our court system that have addiction issues, over 80% of them have to do with meth. So that's why in my budget I've made it treatment, because as we've seen the helpline and accessing the website, we want to make sure we actually have places that we can place them to get the kind of help that they need.
And I was just wondering, in terms of the 2020 year, I mean, how are we doing in terms of storm recovery? I know the state has done some FEMA disaster requests and had one decline. Just wondering how funds are going.
You know, I would say we're doing well as far as getting out there and being able to do a lot of the repairs that need to happen. It's been slow because it stayed so wet. And then it really turned into winter quickly, and that shut down our ability to really go out there and do a lot of infrastructure repair that we wanted to do. And as we go into winter, we're anticipating it'll be a winter with significant moisture, and they're not predicting a dry spring either. So we're not quite sure that we won't be in the exact same situation next spring. So the FEMA declarations came in a timely manner. The state facilitated that and those declarations with tribes and with local community governments, and we were very disappointed in the one that was declined, and we appealed it, and then that was not turned over, so we still did not qualify. That was the one that hit Burke. And so we were very disappointed in that. So we're working with that community to see what we can do to be helpful. But the others being honored is great, because that helps bring in federal dollars that can partner with local and state dollars to really get that infrastructure back in line. And most of that is public infrastructure. So it would be roads, bridges, power lines, you know, public utilities, things like that. We also did qualify in the state twice for individual assistance in other areas as well. So that allows individual families who had their homes damaged or property damaged to qualify for federal assistance too. So I think that was the first time in one calendar year that South Dakota has qualified twice for individual assistance. So it was good to have that option and be able to push those applications forward. But the weather hasn't been helpful. You know, in certain parts of the state, it never did quit raining. And I think that's why you're seeing so many farmers still are out in the fields today in December trying to get their crops out. They were late getting them in. They were late maturing. Now that it started raining again, they couldn't get them out of the field. And so it's been a hard year.
Could you talk about the decision?
Governor, this is Seth Tupper at the Rapid City Journal.
Sure. Hi, Seth.
Hi, I have several quick questions on your proposal to spend $727,000 on the orphan natural gas wells up by Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the first is, would that money cover that whole project, or would you be pairing that money with some other funding to do that?
It should cover the yeah. Oh, well, I'm going to have Liza speak to that, because there is a bill, a piece of legislation that is coming as well that would address some of that issue, but that would cover the state's share of the cost, and so Liza will address the other element there.
There is some funding that the Environment and Natural Resources Board had looked at utilizing, some other bond funding that they thought probably needed a statutory change. So there will be coming legislation on partnering with the state funds to cover the costs of all those wells.
Did you hear that, Seth?
$130,000 from Yeah, I was just curious. Is that $130,000 from another, I think there was another project that, that had leftover bond money they were trying to get?
Yes. Yes, you're correct.
Okay. And then the DNR has insisted several times that this isn't currently an environmental problem or maybe even an emergency. So why do this now?
It's a priority for me.
And have you given up hope of getting any money out of the company that was, you know, orphaned these wells?
I think it's important we take care of the situation, and if we choose to continue to focus on getting assistance from that company, we will do so. But in the meantime, getting that finalized and cleaned up is important.
Okay. Last question on that is, do you plan to propose or support any other legislation that would help prevent something like this in the future, like any changes to the bonding requirements or anything like that?
You know, I think we'd certainly have that conversation. I never really comment on draft legislation, and I haven't heard of any that's coming, but we certainly would take a look.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Did you have one, Lee?
Yeah, thoughts about the sort of state employees and then education funding. Mm-hmm. No real increases there.
Yeah, it you know, the 0% recommendation for state employees, for education, and for providers is in my budget. It is something that probably reflects the financial position the state is in this year. In looking at that, we identified other areas in education and in provider funding that we needed to address, which we did. We did the special education rebase. We did the $1 million for enrollment in education. So there will be dollars going to education, just not in the inflationary increases. And then on the provider side as well, we're funding provider mandatory increases and some specifics on rate tiers when it comes to assisted living. And with the employee health insurance plan, we're putting $4.1 million to keep the employee health plan functioning so that it doesn't take more money out of their pockets, which was important to me. And then also focusing on family leave policy that worked better for our families, making sure that it had more flexibility built in for when they had a sick child or when they have a child or adopt a child as well. So we'll be trying to do some more of those things in the meantime to make sure that these families know they're appreciated and make their lives better quality of life as well, while we continue to focus on ways that we can address salary challenges. All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate you guys all being here. Have a good day.